Micah Hargraves and Devin Stack.
All right. Funky music.
Whoa. All right. I can't hear it.
No, well, you're not going to be able to hear it, but it is awesome. And I can hear it. They can hear it. Well, I hope they can hear it. Or I'm just making weird. I'm beboxing over here. Whoa. Welcome to Outlaws, episode 2. I am Devin Stack. And
I am Rebecca Hargraves. Thank you so much for joining us. On YouTube as well. We did it. We made it happen.
We are live on YouTube then, huh? That's good.
We are. Yep.
All right. Well, tell everyone what we have in store today.
We are going to be talking about the 1851 and 1856 Vigilance Committee of San Francisco. And you might say, what is that? Because we also didn't know what it was before we started researching this topic. So in a nutshell, during the gold rush,
whoa.
San Francisco. What?
Let's slow down a little bit.
I'm just giving a brief preview here.
Okay. The Vigilance Committee, you say? Or Committee of Vigilance. Wait, actually, this is actually, I was wondering about this. I should have looked it up. Is that where the term vigilante even comes from? Or vice versa? Do they decide to name it that?
Because it predates this.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we sure about that?
No.
Should we look it up?
I'm not sure.
I kind of want to look it up now because I almost wonder, like, that'd be a little wild if that's where it comes from, and yet no one knows this.
That's true.
I'll tell you. I'll look it up while you do your brief overview.
Okay. Well, the most interesting part of the story is that I was unaware that San Francisco, from its inception, has been a den of iniquity. Always hookers, gambling, minorities, homos. It's always been this way, which makes me a little less sad about the perceived loss of San Francisco. I mean, the Vigilante Committee did a lot to try to restabilize it and bring order into the community, but it kind of always was a piece of shit city. Did you find our answer, Devin?
Yeah, sadly, it is not. It comes from the Spanish word for something.
Spanish word for something. You heard it here. We're here to teach you on this show, to teach you about the origin of words. Let's start at the very beginning.
All right.
So in 1846, San Francisco, it was a colony of only 200 people. It was called Yerba Buena. Let's talk a little bit about who started the gold rush. I mean, the gold started it. But really, it was this Mormon guy right at home, Devin. This guy, Sam Brannan. He was an interesting character. So he came from New York when he was 27, with a bunch of other Mormons, I think like 240 Mormons. And they thought that Brigham Young was like, just going to follow him, but he didn't. And then he stopped in Utah. When he got to California, he's like, I guess we're here and this is the way that it's going to be. But they thought that it was Mexico. They were sick of being oppressed by Americans and they're like, we're going to Mexico. And then they got to San Francisco and they're like, what? This is a state now. This is Americans too. And they were all pissed off about it.
Well, that's what happened with the Mormons who stopped in Utah too. They were trying to leave the country. They were trying to leave America. And so they went west because it wasn't, you know, at the time when they left, it wasn't America anymore. And they started settling Utah. And then suddenly they were in America again. And they were like, God damn it. Although I was just thinking, what if the Mormons had followed him all the way to California. It makes you wonder if California would not be quite the shithole that it is today. Like if it would have been like Utah only on the West Coast.
Maybe, but Brannan, you know, spectacularly failed in his Mormonism. He was almost immediately excommunicated. So he got into gambling and women and hookers. He did all this stuff. But first, he was like, I want to be incredibly rich. So he constructed flour mills. He bought tons of land. He had, I think, 8,000 acres in the Napa Valley. He had a little resort there. And he printed the first paper in San Francisco. So one day, somebody came in and they were paying something in his little shop with like a bag of gold dust. And he's like, what is this? Where did this come from? And he goes to John Sutter's fort to see what's going on there. And he realized that there is tons of gold here. And he's like, oh my God, there's John Sutter's fort.
There's Sutter's fort. I've been to Sutter's fort. In fact,
oh, really?
When I was a kid, they took us on a field trip and they had like these, the historic LARPers, you know, the people that would, here's how you churn butter, boys and girls. And they had all these. I was thinking about this, though, you know, at the time, everyone that was dressed in like this, these pioneer costumes and doing all the stuff, it was all these white people. It looked all very appropriate. But now I kind of wonder, I feel like that's probably all Mexicans now.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yes, this is how you churn the butter. You know, you have like some Indian dude and it's probably a mess over there now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So Sam Brannan, he was like, this is a good opportunity to start a gold rush. This was very calculated on his part. So he came back and he put the gold dust in bottles and then he printed something on his newspaper and he was like, there's gold here. There's gold here. And suddenly everybody was coming to San Francisco. So by the middle of June of that year, three quarters of the men that were living in San Francisco had already left for the mines. He got incredibly rich because he stockpiled all the supplies needed for miners and then sold them at astronomically high prices, like incredibly marked up. And so he was just buying buildings in San Francisco. He was the largest landowner and he was the richest man for a while. Then he got into some gambling debts and bought this property in Napa. He got involved in railroads. And then because his wife was sick of him banging saloon hookers, she divorced him and was like,
this is
woman.
His wife, though. is that really much of a loss, you know? Like,
it is a loss because she divorced raped him spectacularly, and he had to turn all of his properties and everything like that into cash because she wanted half in cash. And it was and during an economic downturn, and so he lost all of his wealth. And I think he ended his life like selling pencils or something, like died in poverty door to door, by the way. It was rough. One of those early cases of divorce rape, but he probably shouldn't have given her syphilis, which he probably did. I'm speculating. I don't know. So by 1849, San Francisco had grown to a town from 200 to 40,000 within 3 years. There were 4,000 immigrants arriving by ship each month. And they used the abandoned ships. They just like, because people were coming and they were just abandoning these beautiful, spectacular ships. So they just ended up cutting up the ships and like setting them up as saloons and things like that, which is actually the cause of the Great Fire, the first one. People think that it was arson. It was not. It was just that everything was canvas and wood. And that was a really, really bad idea. Candlelight probably started all of those fires. So yeah, that's what it looked like. Yeah. People were living in cellars and tents and the conditions were just terrible, disease, starvation, rampant. And between 1851 and 1853, one out of every five people that reached California died within 6 months.
Sweet.
I guess they were just dying left, right, and side, but it was a really high risk life. People were dying in duels all the time.
Those selection pressures I like to talk about, you know. You got to have those selection pressures at work, whittling out the weak.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess there were tons of immigrants coming from Australia, but at the time not like the based kangaroo punching Aussies we got today. But like the actual criminals. A lot of criminal. And there are people getting shanghaied, like for real, you know, people getting sold into slavery to Oriental merchants in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Because you had the Chinese coming in.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is like a proper, almost like a pirate town.
It was. They called it. It's in my notes somewhere. The Barbary Coast. It really was a pirate town. And the murder rate, it was like one of the, outside of starvation and cholera and dysentery, you were most likely to get murdered. It was five times higher than in the modern era. So there were five murders every 6 days. So that's one murder a day in a population of 40,000, which is wild. Those are like higher than modern Detroit numbers. And so cops... because they had basically taken small town policing and that system and tried to apply it to this massively growing metropolis where everybody was a criminal. They just were unable to really police effectively. And they also were getting paid off. So murderers were going free. Rape was rampant because it was 10 men to every one woman. And that one woman was, you know, probably a hooker, but the few that weren't were probably getting raped all the time. And nobody was paying for it.
Well, and as you said, the officials were getting paid off. In fact, you want to play that quick clip of Sherman talking about how the sheriff got his job?
Oh, sure.
So this is General Sherman, who at the time actually had retired or had separated from the army. He'd gone to San Francisco as well and was working the private sector. And he comes into the story a little bit later on again. But at the time, he was just a private citizen kind of witnessing all of this stuff go down. And in his memoirs, he mentions the corruption behind how the sheriff got his job.
Politics had become a regular and profitable business, and politicians were more than suspected of being corrupt. It was reported, and currently believed, that the sheriff, Scannell, had been required to pay the Democratic Central Committee $100,000 for his nomination, which was equivalent to an election, for an office of the nominal salary of $12,000 a year for 4 years.
So he paid $100,000 to a committee that essentially they were like the kingmakers in order to be sheriff for a job that only paid $12,000 a year. So obviously it wasn't doing it for the money. And there was a lot of ballot box stuffing. So the political apparatus was not only all full of crime and murder and all this other stuff, the politics were completely corrupt.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So the citizens were like, what are we going to do about this? What are we going to do? I mean, there can't be lawlessness here. So they decided to form a vigilante group. This is in 1851. So 700 people got together. They were incredibly organized. They drew up bylaws and then they just announced that they were taking over the government. They're like, they can't do anything. Local police can't do anything. Like, we're in charge now. And this was led by our very own Sam Brannan, who was sick of getting his store robbed. And they ended up hanging a few people, banishing some others. So this guy, John Jenkins, he walked into this merchant store. He picked up a safe and then he carried it to a boat. And the vigilance committee sounded the alarms. They just went out to the boat, pulled him off the boat, and he was hung. He was tried and he was hung by 2 a.m. that same day. And I think in the public square, I think there were like 3,000 onlookers, everybody cheering. And that was for stealing a safe. So after that, there was a massive chilling effect on crime. People were like, whoa, we can't do this anymore. And he was one of those Sydney ducks. He was an Australian guy.
Well, you know, it's funny because this is, I mean, the death penalty, as much as I don't really care to use the argument that, oh, well, it's a deterrent. It really is a deterrent. I mean, yeah, I don't think absolutely. That's why we need to do it. I think we should do it because we need to remove their genetics from the gene pool as quickly as possible. I think it's just a danger. You can't allow to have murderous, safe stealing, you know, assholes in your gene pool. And, not only that, it's just not only do you want them out of the gene pool, the absurd idea that the alternative is paying for them to live forever in a cage is also not just stupid, but that's inhumane if you want to use that argument. I mean, paying for someone to live in a cell for the rest of their life, I mean, it doesn't help. No one wins. And so the
appeals process is incredibly expensive.
Ah, well, and as we, if you watch the last Insomnia stream, you know how that works out sometimes too.
Yeah.
So yep. It's just a bad idea all the way around. Now they actually did a movie in the 1950s about the vigilante committee. And it talks about actually these really, you'll see how swift these trials were. But this is the kind of justice I think we need. This is the kind of justice that I think we need again. Now, the movie, when I first started watching it, it's called The San Francisco Story. It's from 1956. And I looked into it and I was like, first of all, no Jews were involved in the making of this film. Although I think the cinematographer was Jewish, but like it wasn't a Jewish writer and it wasn't a Jewish director. And so I was like, ah, and in fact, even like the production company was like some kind of weird company. Warner Brothers distributed it, but it was produced by like, it was like, you know, Liberty Movies or something, you know, I'd never heard of before. And I was like, oh, this might be good. This is going to be really based. And, but then when it first started out, I was like, oh, this isn't looking good. Cause this is how, this is how it opens up. You got these two cowboys. It's a Western, you know, two cowboys riding up. Oh, I got a man hanging.
Too nice a day to get hung. Sometime I'd like to hear what you consider the right kind of day for it.
Dun, 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 the vigilante committee. So that's the vigilante committee. And I was like, oh, man, are they going to shit on the vigilante committee, making it look like they're just hanging people left and right for no reason? I thought no Jews were involved in this. Like, why shouldn't they think this is based? And so, sure enough, they go through, and this is, so we talk about the first vigilante committee, which was in 1851, and that was pretty successful, right? Like, it cleaned house, and they got rid of the crime, and it died down. But eventually, what happened? It crept back up, right?
Yeah, I mean, they only had to hang four people in 1851. But after that, there was this journalist who called himself King, James King, although I don't think that was his name. And he used to write about corruption in the government. And a guy, Casey, decided to just shoot him in midday over something that he had said about him in his newspaper. So after that, there was a resurgence of the vigilante committee because they were like, we got to get this guy. And another guy, Charles Cora, he was a gambler and he had shot a U.S. Marshal. So basically a new,
that's these guys right here,
those guys right there. Yeah. So basically the city, the old vigilante committee, the old vigilance committee got together and they formed another group, a new group with 7,000 members. And they did it so quickly, so swiftly. And they basically broke into the prison, got these two guys, tried them once again, which was something of a drumhead trial, and then hung them in the square. And there were thousands and thousands of onlookers for this one as well.
Well, and so that's where the movie picks up here, is the you find out that those two guys that are riding in the town, the main character, like the more handsome cowboy guy with his little short sidekick, he was part of the original committee. And he rides into town and finds out they're whipping up the committee again because it's 1856 and they're, you know, crime's getting out of hand. You know, there's the committee of vigilance. You know, you got like that. And they got hangman's nooses everywhere. And again, I'm thinking like, ah, oh, they're going to make this bad. They're going to make it bad. And then they show a scene of how these trials would take place. And that's when I really thought, oh, they're going to make this terrible.
Slade, you've been tried by a jury of the people and found guilty. Guilty of murder. Have you got anything to say before I pass sentence?
Would it change anything if I did?
No. But you could do one decent thing before you die. You could tell us what you know about Andrew Kane.
He's in town. Why don't you ask him?
Because I'm asking you. Did Kane pay you and Myers to murder Hopkins?
If he did, it sure wasn't enough, was it?
By the way, none of the names are historic, and in fact, they one of the bad guys they call King, which is the opposite. But
yeah,
anyway,
yeah, you're right.
Why be a fool, Slade? You're hanging for a man who won't even remember your name tomorrow morning.
Well, I guess it doesn't make any difference then, anyway.
All right. The sentence is death, to be executed immediately.
Oh shit. I need a lawyer, a Jew lawyer that can get me off. Fuck you. Can anyone tell me where I can find a lawyer, Jew? Where's all the Jewish lawyers that can tell you? I was oppressed. I thought you knew. This ain't fair, man. I need a drawn-out legal fight. Goddamn, I'm fucked. Y'all are white.
That's right, bitch. I'm a vigilante hoss. You get the rope like you had the wrong picante sauce.
Get a rope.
For real though, this shit is how it was meant to be. Now string them up, we'll get you all eventually.
black fucking power, bitch!
So I had to remix it a little bit, but like, yeah. So like, at the, they show like that. That's the trial that like they interview him. Like, okay, well you obviously did it. You want to rat anyone out? No. All right. Well, you're gonna get hung. And they walk him literally out right outside,
and then hang him. Yeah.
And hang him right then and there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
No big deal. And so next in the movie, they kind of like, so he's in town and he's like, oh, so you're whipping up the boys again. And I thought it was going to be some weird moral thing where he's like, oh, we can't do this. Not like this. You know, we can't have like these extra judicial executions and stuff. But they kind of went a different way with it, where it's a little black pilling because like he kind of explains that, you know, I'll play the clip here.
Look, if there's any reforming or cleaning up to be done, wait until I leave town.
We really need you, Rick.
Not me. Reformers need enthusiasm. I'm afraid I've outgrown mine. Anyway, I thought we cleaned up this place about 5 years ago.
No, it's worse than it ever was.
Well, maybe we just went to a lot of trouble for nothing. Maybe the people don't want to clean town.
You know better than that.
No, I don't. I've been getting shot up ever since I can remember, just trying to sell something maybe nobody wants to buy. But not this time, Cap. Come on, I'll buy you a drink.
You can't be as disinterested as that, Rick.
Oh, can I? You just hang around and watch a disinterested man have nothing but a good time for a couple of days.
And that was the angle they went. It's like he felt like it, a little defeated because he's like, I feel like I'm trying to sell someone something that no one wants to buy.
And, yeah, that's not true at all.
Yeah, well, he finds out later, because that's, again, I was like, oh, this is going to be bad. But he finds out later that actually the whole town, to some degree, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of people who profit from the corruption. I was surprised because they even had a scene where this guy here, so the guy with the top hat, obviously, you know, he's the rich evil guy. In the movie, his name is King. Again, they changed all the names, but he is blackmailing different politicians. In fact, one of the things he does is he has one of the politicians sign this confession, almost like Jeffrey Epstein style, like sign some confession that he's like this corrupt asshole, and he now will give authority over to this guy, like a resignation letter that this guy would keep in his safe. So if he ever got out of line, he could just whip out this letter. And then there's, you know, all the law enforcement, of course, is paid off, but the people are you know, supportive of the vigilante committee. And here's another little bit where he talks about where he's kind of thinking like, yeah, I guess we do have to round him up.
Who is this Kane that everybody's so down on him?
Probably the biggest menace the state's ever had.
That's a tall order. What's he done?
Murder, robbery, bribery.
Does he make a living at it?
Rick, this man is out to take over the whole state, and he's close to succeeding. He's a dangerous fanatic, believes in his destiny.
You seem to be hanging practically everybody in sight. He sounds like a good candidate.
No, he's too smart. He's got a lot of people on his side.
How come?
Talks big, makes big promises. He's got an organization. Every crook and scoundrel in California supports him.
Well, the girl didn't look much like a scoundrel to me.
Rick, please.
Please, Rick.
See, well, and that's where the movie got gay. He's obsessed with this girl. And so this guy's always like, stop thinking with your dick, Rick. You know, we're going to hang these people. And he's like, but I love this girl. And so, and then the movie devolves into this stupid love story of him trying to steal the girl of the big bad guy. And then you realize, oh, so it's not even really about this. This is just the backdrop. But I did think it was interesting that, you know, out of all this time, this is a pretty big story. In fact, it's California history. It's something that, you know, movies are made in California, right? You would think that this would be a story that would be worth doing a movie about.
Right. Yeah.
But for obvious reasons.
It's propaganda, though. They weren't hanging people left, right, and side. They only hanged four people in 1851 and four people in 1856. And that's all it took to deter the entire population from criminality. Except for the Chinese.
Well, we might talk about the Chinese here in a minute too. I got some fun stuff about the Chinese, but anyway. So yeah, so going back, so 1956, they hang these two guys, and How does that go?
I mean, everybody's super jazzed about it, and then
jazzed.
They are. They were really excited. You know, that's what we need in our society, like a good public hanging. I think it would be excellent for morale. People really used to get into it, you know?
Well, and it's, look, that's white culture. I mean, quite frankly, it is. Yeah. Like public hangings, that's white culture. That goes back centuries. And yeah. it serves so many purposes if you think about it. If you have a public execution, I almost feel like every execution should be public. Yeah. If you have a public execution, it does in fact have that deterrence factor, but not just the deterrence factor that people think about where they think like, oh, well, I don't want to be the guy. I don't want to steal because, you know, they'll hang me and I'll be the guy in the center that everyone's throwing rotten tomatoes at or whatever. But no, I think it's also, it builds, this might sound, you know, it's like a team building exercise, you know?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like the whole town gathers around to kill the bad guy, right? Like, and I'm sure there's like, you know, like a dinner afterwards, you know, like everyone goes and, you know, hangs out at the bar and they all talk about how, you know, that murdering rapist guy, his eyes popped out of his head.
Yeah, and he pissed himself, yeah.
Right, like there's some camaraderie that's built together. You know, I feel like it brings the whole community together when they get to watch a bad guy killed. And yeah. I feel like that we're missing that. And obviously, of course, yeah, you will have the bad guys that are like, oh, fuck, I don't want to be that guy. But it also, it normalizes violence as a acceptable and actually necessary response to that kind of behavior. And yeah. So I feel like it desensitizes the public in a good way from violence, because right now the kind of violence that the public is desensitized from is violence basically being perpetrated against them. And they're what's normalized is I have to wait for law enforcement to show up, because if I actually do anything to defend myself, well, then I'm going to get in trouble too, you know, or maybe even more so than the person attacking me. But if you have this, this celebration of punishment, I guess you could say, it really is going to, I think, flip some switches, some primal switches in the minds of the people in the general public, where they not just, I mean, it's totally normal that murder equals murder. Like if you kill someone, you get killed. You know?
Right. So, and then the way that they put people down these days is just too humane.
Yeah.
Oh, like, oh, idea, you get a little shot. Like, oh no.
Well, there was that state. I forget what it was. There was some state that they couldn't get. They're like, oh, we're going to have to put a hold on all executions because the one approved lethal injection thing that we used to use is no longer, like, the Jewish pharmaceutical company won't sell it to us anymore. And so I guess we just can't kill it. It's like, go to the fucking grocery store and buy a bottle of Drano. Like, yeah, if you're really so obsessed with using an injection, but why do you even have to use an injection? I mean, you realize that you slaughter what's that? No Country for Old Men, like the little... Yeah. Cow hammer thing, just get one of those things, you know.
In Idaho we had that problem as well, and so they said that they were bringing back execution by firing squad.
Well, exactly, why not? Literally, why not? It's the cheapest thing in the world. I'm sure people would sign up to volunteer if it's not like you couldn't find someone to shoot the murderer in the head. I mean, lots of people. I would volunteer. And so you could I mean, I'll volunteer right now. I will be the executioner for the entire country. I will kill any murderer that you want. And I'll make it as creative as possible if that's what you want. Like, I'll have options. You can pay extra for, like, the roof and the hole in the roof kind of execution. You know, that's like the top of the line. Or just the cow hammer thing, you know, in the forehead. But
totally.
Like, it's not like we can't do this. And
no, I mean, the real thing is that it needs to be publicized. That's what the people want. Everything else is publicized. I can see all this gore and Gaza on X. It's like, we can't do public executions here. Jeez.
Right. No, and that's the thing too, is one, you know, what gets normalized, right? The kind of violence that gets normalized on social media, it is. It's like black people beating the shit out of white people and stuff like that. And really the kind of violence that should be normalized are those same black people hanging from ropes in the middle of a town square, surrounded by a bunch of cheering people wearing like those beer hats.
I love it. That's great. We can have some food trucks and things like that, and, you know, bring back the gore.
Absolutely.
So they were able to basically get the entire city under control once again. They exiled a bunch of politicians. They deported a bunch of Irish Catholics and Australians. And then once they were able to do this, they pretty much gave the keys to the city back. But they installed themselves in very prominent positions politically, which was smart.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a shame though that they weren't a little more racist. Like they didn't get rid of all those fucking Chinamen.
Not enough on the Mexicans either.
Yeah. Well, we were looking. It was funny. We're looking for some Chinamen footage because it's San Francisco. I don't know if you've ever been to San Francisco, and they got Chinatown and all this other stuff. But that's obviously that was like the port, and still is, I guess, in many ways, that you know, between us and Asia. And I was looking around for, like, there's got to be a movie or something about that time period. And I did find this movie. And I knew it'd be funny because, like, of course, back then, they wouldn't have Asian people actually playing the parts of Asian people. You know, they always had like, "Hello, I'm Ping," you know, like that kind of a thing. And I was not super disappointed. They had, of all people, Edward G. Robinson, you know, a Jew. We'll get into his real name in a second. In this movie called The Hatchet Man, which is a movie about, I guess, like this Chinese assassin that worked for the Chinese like mafia in San Francisco. Yeah, but this is how it opens. And again, he's playing a Chinese guy.
The Honorable Hatchet Man from Sacramento is here.
So I ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Wong Lo Get is as prompt and unfailing as the stroke of his hatchet.
So I was like,
was that guy actually narrowing his eyes? Was he like, oh?
Yeah. Well, they all do, which is kind of funny. But no, so that's him trying to be a Chinese guy. And look, he's in a bunch of old movies. He usually plays like some Italian mafia guy, right? His real name, Emmanuel Goldberg, who, yes, came to the country from Eastern Europe around the turn of the century, like a lot of these guys. But yeah, you have Emmanuel Goldberg acting like the Chinese assassin. And the one thing that I thought, like, one of the funniest parts about this was they apparently, because they were like, well, no one can really do a convincing, like, it's bad enough that we're expecting the audience to buy the fact that we're Asian, you know, that a bunch of Jews with wigs and, like, you know, wearing silk, like, that makes us Asian. And we can't do Asian accents very good, so how about we just say honorable in front of everything? Because that'll really sell it, right? Lord, most honorable.
Oh.
Before everything. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, that was the...
Now you're the Honorable Hatchet Man.
Only an honorable hatchet man.
Your honorable house.
My honorable patrons are waiting.
A woman is the property of a husband under the ancient Chinese law. Remember that, oh mother of a foolish tongue.
You lie. I paid good money for her. She's not your wife. I paid good money for her to work and serve for me. You lie.
An honorable hatchet man does not lie.
Smash, smash, smash.
And that's the movie.
That woman was Jewish, right? She had to be.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, a real witch face.
No one had a speaking role was actually Asian. Like, they were all Jews, and then, like, you know, they put Asians in the background to look confused, like that guy in the back that's like, oh, what's going on? Yeah. It's almost like they ordered takeout and they're like, hey, put this hat on. You look good. Stand behind her.
It's for real.
Look confused. And so
yeah, and the Chinese were really doing this. I love that the Chinese Americans, which is a term that I reject, that they're always like, oh, we just came here to build railroads. But yeah, what they were actually doing was
dens.
Like, yeah, they made opium dens, and then all, like half of the harems there were Chinese madams, and they were just bringing in 11-year-old Chinese prostitutes and enslaving them. And then when they would get enough money, they'd just go back to China.
Yep. Many such cases. Yep. You know, I was funny. I remember I was, this came up when I was looking at Patchett Man, obviously. And I was like, whatever happened to that guy? Because I remember he did something fucked up, like his, he's in jail, or at least I think he's still in jail. And in retrospect, I'm almost wondering if he's innocent. So this is a nice face tattoo. This was a prison interview with him, and this is his side to the story about what happened to him and why he's in jail. And after listening to it, I'm kind of like, now again, I'd have to revisit it. Maybe he's just a crazy guy. But I think you'll understand why you think that, maybe he just, because the first story, the reason why he went viral the first time around was some guy was assaulting a woman, right? And he pulled a hatchet out of his backpack and like hatcheted the fucking guy in the head and killed him. And he became like this internet sensation for, you know, because he was, you know, because he was the hatchet guy. He was this meme. And so they let him off. He was on, they put him on TV. You know, he was like all the rage for like at least a couple months. And then you find out later, or at least the story was, the headline was, he's this crazy murderer and he actually killed an innocent person. And, that was all I really heard about it. Look, I don't know. Maybe he actually did, but then you watch this interview and now I'm kind of like, huh,
this situation is hell.
How did he end up here? 3 months after he appeared on Jimmy Kimmel, Kai hitchhiked across the country and wound up in New York's Times Square, where he met 74-year-old lawyer Joseph Galfi.
How did you meet this man, Joseph Galfi?
He walked up to me and said, hey, you look lost. Where are you headed? I told him I'm going over to Jersey. And he gave me a ride over to his place.
He took the man up on his offer and spent 2 nights at his home. He claims he was drugged and then sexually assaulted.
Now, I think that might actually be what happened. Mm. I think because he was in Times Square and some just rich 74-year-old, possibly Jewish lawyer, gay lawyer, is like, hey, buddy. You look lost.
You look lost.
Yeah, hey, I'll take you to my mansion. And so he's like, okay, because he's you know, he literally is the homeless hatchet guy. And he goes with him.
Then he said he fought back in self-defense.
I sat when I punched him in the face. And he was over top of me, and he shoved me into the bed, and I was trying to get him away from me. I couldn't get him away from me.
Kai fled to Philadelphia, where he was apprehended 4 days later.
After the beating, did you realize how badly he was injured?
No.
You just thought I had to get out of there.
I just had to get out of there. When I woke up and he was over top of me, I panicked.
Did you know he was dead?
I didn't know that he was dead.
This man's ear was almost ripped off. His neck was fractured. His face was fractured.
The ear injury came from one horizontal kick from on my back. That ought to tell you. I was on my back on the floor.
But the jury didn't believe he acted in self-defense.
Smash, smash, smash.
Wait. So he hatcheted one person that was raping a chick, right?
Yeah, and then he beat to death.
And then he beat to death a gay Jew.
A gay rapist. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Now, I don't know. Maybe there's more. Maybe because he obviously doesn't seem super with it, you know? And the face tattoo is not doing him any favors. You know what I mean? So it's possible that it's not how he says. But I don't. What, you know, from what I know about 74-year-old gay Jews, it's also highly probable that he was drugged and he was being assaulted, and the lawyer fucked around with the wrong guy. He fucked around with the hatchet man. You know?
Yeah, I mean, why would you go up to somebody and be like, oh, you're lost. You want to stay at my house?
Yeah, I'm a millionaire.
In Times Square? Yeah, that guy was up to no good.
He was looking for a homeless guy to fuck is what he was doing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yeah.
So, and I don't know how this guy didn't know this. Maybe he just thought like, oh, it's because I'm kind of famous. I'm the hatchet guy. This guy wants to take me to his mansion and let me hang out for a little bit because I'm a retarded homeless guy. And then, oh no, I'm getting raped. Smash, smash, smash. You know, like that. I could see that being what happened.
We should get this guy out of jail. Where's Kim Kardashian on this one?
Yeah. Well, we should see if we can do an interview with this guy. Is he? Well, what, yeah, this really. Was. See this. But this was. This is from a couple years ago. This follow up. I wonder where he's at now. Let me take a look here. Kai the Hatchet Man. That's his name.
Poor guy.
He's Canadian too.
Ooh.
He was an illegal immigrant. Hatchet Man. All right. So as of right now, yeah, he's still in prison. Well, there's a Netflix documentary from 2023. Maybe we should take a look at that. That could be an episode, maybe. Follow and find out the story of Kai the Hatchet Man. But yeah, they gave him 57 years.
Come on.
Yeah. I like how you kill one at the very least creepy gay Jewish lawyer, you get 57 years. You know, yeah. but if you're an illegal immigrant that rapes some chick to death, you're out in like, you know, 15, you know, no big deal.
Everybody in America should have a pass to kill at least one old gay Jew.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Within my vigilance committee, that'll be in the bylaws.
We'll have to make a logo like this too. The logo is kind of big. It's a little eye of Sauron.
Yeah, I like it.
The all-seeing eye. Of course, everyone's going to think that's very very Masonic, and maybe it was. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't read anything about that.
There's the coin.
They did really hate Irish Catholics, though. That is true.
Well, who doesn't?
We're going to get in trouble.
And here's another one of the hangings there.
Which hanging is that? Good for them. I like all the public support. You can see a little guy with his arm in the air like, yeah, woo!
Yeah, people got into it. I'm telling you, it was like a good time. It was like a good time. And why wouldn't it be? You know, like, are you telling me that if they said, hey, we're going to hang... I don't know who's like a criminal like the guy that killed Irina, that black the nig on the train.
Yeah.
If they said we're gonna hang him in the public square on Thursday, they could sell tickets, man. They could sell pay per view to that.
Oh, for sure. You'd have a little viewing party.
Well, think of how much money they would make for the state.
Yeah.
You could fund. I mean, you would go from spending all this money, keeping these people on death row for 20, 30 years, or how, you know, these obscene amounts of time, to you could fund the entire prison system with one execution.
This is a great idea, because people do have that desire for bloodlust. I mean, you and I both listen to true crime. I'm sure back in the day you were on Rotten.com and stuff. By the time I was like 11, I had seen every suicide video that exists.
Yeah, Live Leak.
Oh yeah, Live Leak back in the old days.
All the cartel videos, those are so horrible.
Those are the worst. No, I can't even.
Just don't ever. I'm not even going to say the name of it. There's one in particular that's so horrifying. I it's probably why I have insomnia. But yeah. it's really bad. I'll tell you after the show, but I don't want to spread it to.
I know what you're talking. Is it the intestine video?
No, it's the. No, I can't tell you.
Yeah, I can't do it.
It's bad, though.
The most to date, the most traumatizing video that I've seen was the Bud Dwyer suicide.
Which one's that one?
Oh, you've never seen this? Oh, it's crazy. He was a politician and he got caught money laundering. Sorry if I'm messing this up, but he made a press conference.
I've seen that.
Yeah, that one is rough. You can see everything. Because there's so much story behind it. That one really stuck with me over the years.
Yeah, that's nothing compared to what I was going to tell you.
It's really well, the cartel's bad. Not messing around. They'll slit you open and then, you know, choke you on your own intestines.
Yeah. It's worse than that too, actually.
How is that even possible?
It's bad. I'll tell you later.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So,
well. Anyway. So the vigilante committee, once again, gave the keys back. They embedded themselves into the subsequent political structure, and they basically became the People's Party. And they did well for a little while. But then the labor movement started to grow. There were progressive reforms, FDR. And then there was a shift towards liberalism, which, of course, was Jews at the helm. And then by the 1960s, we all know what happened, and San Francisco became what it is today. So I guess this is kind of a sad story, because although they were able to maintain order and take over the government, San Francisco still turned into this leftist hellhole that it is today. So to do nothing, there's no hope is the message of this story.
They shouldn't have given power back. And in fact, I would say, so California was actually a very conservative state. You got to remember, they elected Ronald Reagan as governor. And it really wasn't until the 1960s when you had a bunch of fucking hippies come in. Now, don't get me wrong. There was also like a lot of other stuff going on in California that wasn't conservative. Obviously, Hollywood. You also had all those cults that came in. You know, you had like a lot of weird occult shit going on, especially in Southern California. And a lot of that was happening because that was the furthest you could get from the center of power in Washington and still be in America. And so it was almost like no man's land before there was mass communication and before there was mass transportation. In fact, the reason why Hollywood is in California is because the Jews stole a lot of technology from Edison and then came to California, so it would be harder for him to prosecute them in New York and whatnot. So that's why a lot of stuff was out there. But it was still a very conservative state. It was a very rural state. There was a lot of, and still is, a lot of agriculture. And it really wasn't until Reagan did the amnesty for the Mexicans in California, well, obviously, which legalized a bunch of Mexicans in California, that it really flipped blue. But it used to be pretty, I mean, north of LA, it was very conservative. And in fact, there are still pockets of California, even like around LA, where it's very white and it's very kind of racist. And it's very, you know, it's kind of like descendants of those same people. Yeah. Living there today. But yeah, that's how quickly it can change. And it's because, you know, demographics is destiny. You know, if they had kept a handle on the demographics, if they had kept the bad people out, you're always going to look, even if we lived in a white utopia where everyone was white and everyone, you know, was genetically very similar, you're still going to obviously have bad apples. You're going to have bad people. You're always going to have law enforcement, and you're going to have these mechanisms like the public executions and whatnot to keep people in check. And it's never going to be paradise. You know, you're always going to have to fight for your civilization in order to keep it, like a well-oiled machine. But it's because of that that you don't want to introduce these other problems that exacerbate it and make it impossible for you to do that. You know, it's kind of like I was talking to my mom once and trying to explain race realism to her, and I said something along the line, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was we were talking about how black people commit more crime or whatever. And how Mexicans vote more, left and non-whites basically vote against our interests. And she made the comment, well, there's white liberals too, and it's, you know, they vote. And I was like, yeah. So why would you want more of them?
Yeah.
You know, like why? I'm not saying that's not true. Certainly there's going to be white people who are spiteful mutants, and they're gonna create problems for our society. So why would you want more of that? You know, like why would you want to increase that problem? And that's just something that a lot of people don't even think about for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, there are people, and we still have to deal with them. But that was the problem with the committee, is this was not a racial movement. It was a merchant class. And so all of their principles were basically based on the philosophy that they wanted to protect their money, not that they wanted to protect their culture, because there really was no culture in San Francisco. It was a diverse group of people from the get-go. So it really was baked into the cake there.
Yeah, the crime had just gotten so out of hand, it was bad for business.
Yes, yeah. And that's probably why they failed. I mean, every movement that's not white first fails.
Right. And so as soon as it was good for business again, you know, they handed the reins back to the government. And mm-hmm. so that's the problem, is anytime your focus is on the economics of the society, well, guess what? So a lot of things that are very profitable are also really bad.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and there were always Jews. I mean, there were some Jews embedded into the committee as well, because they were the merchant class. So that's another reason they probably failed. Why couldn't they just be like, let's get the Chinese, the Mexicans out of here, and then dealt with the crime of the white people?
And the Jews.
Of course, yeah.
Almost that should be the priority, actually, in some ways. But
yeah, yeah.
But anyway, definitely. So anything else you want to add about the committee?
I don't think so. I mean, I thought this was going to be a much more heartwarming story when I started researching it, but it is a feel good Western story where, like, if you can do some community organization and you can take care of business just a little bit, that it is a massive deterrent. This is what Pinochet did, right? Didn't he just kill very publicly a few communists and that was it? I mean, you don't have to, in these situations, there's the lesson here. You don't actually have to kill that many people. You just have to kill a few people very publicly. And it seems to really create a chilling effect. And that is the lesson of the Committee of Vigilance.
Yeah, very publicly and very theatrically.
Yes.
And, you know, that's why we need more holes in roofs.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a look, I guess, at, what do you want to do? Entropy first or?
Sure. And then I got a bunch of super chats. Don't forget to get your super chats into my channel. I am at Blonde of the Belly of the Beast. I will read those as soon as Devin is done with entropy.
Oh, we got zero on entropy.
Boo.
Maybe it didn't work right. We'll go to Rumble then. Entropy's tricky.
Bum, 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 they're bum, so bum, unreliable.
There we go. On Rumble, we got Nog Stomper. Nog Stomper says,
Negro Slayer.
Yeah. Congrats on the new show. It would be fun to hear Devin and Blonde run a tier list of non-whites from worst to most tolerable. I have a feeling I know who gets the top spot. Cheers. What, like a racial hierarchy kind of
thing?
Oh,
I already have this. I mean, oh yeah.
Watching Outlaws. Do this straight now.
Hold on.
With Rebecca.
There we go. Sorry. I always forget to turn that off. You have one? You have one ready to go? You have a racial hierarchy?
Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah. At the very bottom, of course, most dangerous, I've got Jews. Then black people. And then Indians. Then we've got, I'm going to say Mexicans. Okay, yeah, Mexicans are kind of in the middle there. All right, then we're going to talk Asians. Am I forgetting anybody that's like very detestable?
Let's see here. Gypsies.
Yeah,
You forgot gypsies.
Gypsies are in the middle there.
I think it's because we don't really have gypsies.
It's a huge problem in Europe. My Slavic friends fucking hate gypsies.
Right.
And some of my European friends, they hate gypsies so much. All right, as far as Asians, all right, we got your low tier Asians.
Like jungle Asians?
Yeah, you got your jungle Asians. Those are pretty bad. Don't like them. And then as far as like the top, the most tolerable, Japanese, number one. Number one, Japanese. Then next we've got Mongols. And then we've got Han Chinese and Taiwanese. Oh, Koreans are probably top. Two or three. Tolerable. Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't know. Koreans are kind of like Asian Jews a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, but all Asians are kind of like Jews, except for the Japanese. Japanese number one, though.
What about Eskimos?
I find them inoffensive.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Have you ever encountered a real Eskimo? I never have.
I kind of feel like, though, I think we're missing out on a lot of here. I mean, you're forgetting Abos.
Yeah.
And you're forgetting, when I say Eskimo, I would lump in, like, First Nations, like, if you're in Canada, you know, like the...
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and then you got the Native Americans here, and then you got, like, the... Let's see here. Those fucking Mongols. I hate the Mongols.
What?
And the fucking... The Finnish people are a little sus, too. I don't know. Those Finnish people.
The important thing is that we all put Jews at the bottom. I think that is the most important thing.
Yeah. No, but like in terms
how
of America,
did you not have a list at the ready?
I don't know. I just think about like, are you white? And then if you're not, you're just like, that's my list. I got two columns, you know, it's white people and everybody else, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it.
But we have to triage deportations.
Do we, though?
Yeah, totally.
I don't think we have to.
It's going
to
be a process.
No, just to do like what I said. Just it's a column. Like you just walk up to someone. Are you white? No, get in the bus. Right?
Okay, maybe you're right.
That makes it so much easier. It's just more efficient. All right. And then we got Fanny Schrute says, /. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Then we got Mojack says, what's the difference between Tyrone and a box of chocolates? Do you have a guess there?
It's going to be a slavery joke.
Yeah, you're right. And the answer is you can buy a box of chocolates.
Ha ha.
I feel like there's a lot more of a difference than that.
Dude, Mojack. Have I told you about Mojack before?
No.
So Mojack is one of my guys. And I did a meetup in Iowa, and I meet him. And this guy, he comes walking with a cane. He's bald. He's wearing, like, Confederate flag shorts. He just sits down and starts chain smoking Pall Malls and drinking PBRs and talking to me about how he beat some terrible kind of cancer through, like, a totally experimental treatment. And he's been in remission for, like, 3 years.
Oh, nice. Based.
I know. He's so badass. I love Mojack. Thank you so much for coming over to the new show. I really appreciate it.
Thank
he's
you.
Tough bastard.
Sounds like we need more tough old bastards.
I know. Yeah.
All right. Then we got likes to watch with a generous dono. It says super convenient to be able to donate to both of my favorite content creators in one go.
Thanks
for all that you do. Well, I appreciate that. Likes to watch. And then Reaver from Craigslist says, hey, guys, would you ever consider doing a stream on White Earp and the events depicted in Tombstone? I have an ancestor who rode with White Earp when he went around shooting the cowboys.
Yeah, I can put it on the list.
We could do like a debunking of the movie Young Guns or whatever, because I know it's like so ahistoric. And then there's like some fun, like in Young Guns 2, they started out, I don't think I've done an Insomnia. I think I was thinking about doing an Insomnia stream about this and then didn't. But there was, they open up, because like when the movie came out, I think it was like the late 90s or maybe early 2000s. But at the time, there was some guy claiming to be Billy the Kid. And they shopped him around. He was like on Unsolved Mysteries and all this other stuff. And it probably was not Billy the Kid at all. But that's something we could dive into, because in the movie they open up like he's that guy. And then we got Trufflebee says, would love it if you could upload the Outlaws lobby music somewhere like YouTube or Spotify. It's a banger. Well, I could do that.
It's a banger.
There's no lyrics to it, but there's, yeah, it's, I could put it somewhere. Let's see that. But thank you very much there, Trufflebee. Then we got TMK 1335 says, Seeing Christians and Jews come together and flex their retard strength is giving me a very ominous feeling. How schizo is it to think that the U.S. intentionally bombed that girl's school as some kind of sacrificial proof of commitment to Israel?
Dude, have you been watching Trump's press conferences on this?
Well, didn't he say something like, oh, whatever, if we did do it, it's still worth it. Like, didn't he say something like that?
Well, he's been saying that it was Iran, that Iran did the bombing, even though it was a Tomahawk, confirmed Tomahawk. There's just no way that it wasn't us. And it was a double tap strike. Just abhorrent, egregious violation.
Well, he said that first, but I saw a clip of some journalist confronted him on that and said, so you're telling me that the U.S. didn't do it, even though it was definitely a U.S. weapon that only the U.S. has. You're still saying that Iran did it. And I forget the exact quote, but Trump basically implied, well, I'm okay with it if we did it.
Oh, my gosh. So glad I didn't vote for him again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's as far as, like, was it, like, a commitment thing? No.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think it – I mean, that seems a little weird. I mean, I feel like – I mean, Israel gets that – I mean, why would they need that? You know, like, Trump's their guy. See, I think people are still operating under this weird impression that, like, Trump has to prove himself to the Jews. That's like, he is a Jew. Like, like, at what point, what's left to prove? You know, like.
Yeah, but they require continuous evidence of loyalty from Goy.
I guess, but I mean, I just feel like they just don't care. You know, like, I don't think that it. Like, I think Trump genuinely wouldn't care if they hit, like, 50 schools in the same exact way. I don't think that he has, like, some kind of conscience about that, you know? Like, I don't think he – I think he sleeps like a baby and has no problem whatsoever, you know, killing babies or raping them, you know? Like, I don't. I think he's just that kind of a person. And people just can't wrap their head around that. I think it's because so few people have proximity to power – or even like wealthy people. I mean, there's just, and I'm not saying this like to look down on people, but they're the average person lives within their class and interacts with other people within their class, and people that are far above their class. And I'm not saying that, you know, they're better people or whatever, but you know, like in terms of the social hierarchy, they're separated by several rungs on that ladder. And so they just use their imagination. Either they base what they think, like they assume that those people are either just like them. You know, they think that, like, oh, Trump, you know, if I was president, I would think this. And so Trump's probably thinking this, you know, or they go the other way with it and they make them, you know, they think about movies, right? Like, and they apply like superhero attributes onto people like Trump or whatever. But it's so far removed from their real life experience that they just don't know how to gauge how these people are. And they're not like us. They're not like us. They're psychos. They're all psychos. And they, you know, Trump is really good at seeming like the kind of guy I'd want to have a beer with or whatever. Oh, he's so like personable on camera and stuff. And guess what? The most psychotic people in the world are like that. The
charming.
That's like the definition of a psychopath. A psychopath is someone that gets the girls. He's someone who has lots of people who are dedicated and loyal to him. I mean, that's how psychopaths operate. And the people that, unfortunately, we live in a country that rewards psychopaths. And so the people at the top are psychopaths, like all of them.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I don't think that he cares at all that they obviously did that. And look, if you want to be fair, is it possible that Iran had maybe, sure, that's really a school, maybe they had like a hidden something underneath there? I don't know. It's possible. And they and they did the math and they're like, well, we'll kill a bunch of kids, but we'll also knock out whatever the thing was. I mean, I don't know.
No, nope, there's no way.
You don't think so?
No, no way. No, you know, way.
It could. I mean, I don't know. I could see, or maybe not. You know, I don't know. I just don't think it matters to them. I think it does. They would kill 1,000 kids, and they wouldn't care. Crazy Horse Josiah says, you know what will normalize pedophilia is letting people draw pornographic images of cartoon children. It's not legal in California or in America to do that. It's not legal in America to draw pornographic kiddie porn. Okay. Well, I'm not sure what you're getting at there.
Me neither. But... Oh, do you know what happened on Twitter the other day? I could not believe it. This chick, this fitness chick that I used to really like, Stephanie Buttermore, she died at 36, no cause of death or anything like that. And I was like scrolling through the responses. And one of the responses was straight up hardcore explicit child pornography.
Have you ever on X?
Have you ever seen anything? I immediately reported it, right. But I couldn't. It was so shocking. I couldn't even believe. I've never seen anything like that ever before in my life. It was like one of the most shocking things I've ever seen. Has anything like that ever happened to you?
No, I've never seen anything like that. You would think that their AI
would pick it up, right?
Right.
Huh. I couldn't believe it.
Well. Then again, you know, priorities. They're more worried about whether or not you're criticizing
Jews. You say Jew. Yeah.
Right. Friendly Fash says, how is some Mormon guy called Brigham Young uncanny? Oh, come on. His name is Brigham. Uncanny. Anyways, I love the show. You have, you two have great chemistry. Well, there you go.
Thank you.
First of all, it's Brigham, and I'm a descendant of that man. That's... So you better watch it, buddy. You're talking about my ancestors there.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,
he also got excommunicated from the church and then went on a gambling.
Well, not Brigham Young. And... You're talking about he's talking about Brigham Young.
No, I'm talking about you.
Well, no, I didn't get excommunicated from the church and go on a gambling spree.
Not like Samuel Brannan. You didn't do that.
No. But they still send missionaries to my house. Like
really?
Recently. Yeah. Like, and it's always the girl ones. Like, so these two cute, like, cause when you're girls and you go on a mission, they start you at 21. And so these two, like 21-year-old Mormon chicks, like knocked on my out, middle of nowhere. Right. Somehow they're out here. And I hear
hello,
this like,
Mr. Stack. Yeah,
hello, anyone here? And I was like, oh boy. And I'm like, did my mom send you? And no. We were just in the neighborhood. I'm like, yeah, I bet. Uh-huh. I bet you're just in the neighborhood.
Driving for 3 hours to get here, so okay.
Yeah, and but it's like the second time they've sent him out here, but just very recently I was like, great. Yeah. They're real nice. Nice. It was nice to talk to cute, you know, two cute 21-year-old girls for a while, but because they're nice people and they're not, it's a soft sell. You know, they're not like, no, you must come to church.
Yeah.
But yeah, they definitely were doing that. All right, then we got How's It Going? Says great show again, guys. I've seen Rebecca wear a Pete Steele shirt before. Have either of you heard the songs Der Untermensch by Type O and Race War by Carnivore? They're absolute classics. R.I.P. Pete.
Oh yeah, of course. Carnivore is excellent, but like most artists, the second band is better, of course. I know some people that prefer Carnivore, but I am a diehard Type O negative fan. I discovered them like 5 years ago.
What?
And yeah, I never heard Type O negative, and then I discovered them 5 years ago, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I just became obsessed with Type O negative. I've listened to October Rust like a thousand times. It was just so good. I love Peter Steele. I'm so sad that we've lost him. He was such an interesting guy, so talented.
My
Druid is the most romantic song ever written for a woman ever.
Well, I don't know who any of those people are. I mean, I only know because Type O Negative, because they had that song in the 90s. I don't even remember
Christian Woman. Love You to Death.
Sing it for us.
Nope, not a chance.
With your deep baritone, because I remember that. Yeah, he's got like a really low voice, and
she loves the dark.
Yeah, it might have been that. I don't remember, but I remember they had all the goth girls liked it. So, were you a goth girl?
No. No.
You didn't paint yourself white and walk around like all black and just stare at the ground and talk about how life was pain.
Nope, just had a Barbie thing going on, and I smoked a lot of weed.
There you go.
Like a lot.
Pothead Barbie.
All right. That's it.
Let's see here. Then we got Tom O'Hawk says, get in the roof hole. We'll never get old. You know what? I actually made an image. We were talking about doing some merch. I got to find that. I don't know if I know I sent it to you, so let me find it from
you. You sent it to me on X.
Let's see here. But, yeah, we're thinking about, in terms of merch, this would be a good, yeah, here it is. Let me pop this up here. This would be a good shirt. Would you guys get a shirt like this? Let's see. Image. Hard drive is spinning up. Let's see here. There we go. Would you guys get this shirt?
Yes. I want that shirt.
Get in the roof hole. He looks so serious, too. He's just like, listen here, buddy. This hole, it ain't going to put you in on its own. You got to get in it.
How did they keep him in the hole? They must have, like, done some measuring and gotten a tape measure out.
Because in my head, it's just like some hole that they bust in there. But now that you're mentioning that, I do feel like some engineering had to have been involved.
So, yeah, totally. They had to put him in like a screw.
You imagine if they had to screw him in. All right, get in the hole. All right, they're all just rotating him around until he screws in. Spin the nig. We're going to play a game of spin the nig into the hole.
See, this is the kind of stuff that I would buy tickets for.
You know, it's funny. Someone replied to the notification for or the tweet for the first stream we did, and it was like, I like you and Rebecca, but when I heard you making fun of that man that they killed in the hole, I was just real. And I was like, I hope this is satire because I'm pro lynching, I don't know why you would never have picked up on that, you know? Like,
how could you not? You've done a bunch of stories on lynching. And anybody that actually thinks that and is listening to the show, really look into the backstory of all the lynchings, because every single time they did it.
Of that lynching, the one that specifically that they were complaining about. I'm like, I'm supposed to be respectful of a raping egg that gets set on fire? Like, I mean, if anything, that's kind of that was the point of the stream, is people like that exist, and that's why we can't do it. Because I presume if you're watching the show that you fancy yourself pro-white, but you can't stomach laughing at some guy who got set on fire 100 years ago and in a really funny way. Come on.
Such a funny way. So right. Funny.
We got flankerved. I don't know. I can't say it. If we get public executions in the future, the public onlookers need the option to buy beer hats that have Devin the Executioner on them. That way, everything is more fun. Yeah, see, we could sell beer hats. We could sell those big fingers, but instead of like a finger, it's like a hand holding a noose or something.
I like it.
I feel like there's a lot of merchandising options there. You could sell little nooses for the kids, you know? We got Rupert says, what happened to Vincent James? He is not on Juder as he used to be. He doesn't stream or on his Telegram. He's hardly active. Question for Rebecca.
Oh, I have no idea. I think he is just doing family stuff.
I've seen him tweet sporadically recently, but I don't know.
And then he rented out his Twitter account to somebody. So
did he?
For a while, you know, when you do that, somehow your audience doesn't know.
Yeah. Well, it's
I don't know why. Yeah.
Well, it's like Drudge Report isn't even run by, I mean, not that Matt Drudge was likely a Mossad Jew, but it's run, he sold it, and part of the agreement was they couldn't talk about it. So all the boomers were just confused when all of a sudden Drudge Report started being very anti-Trump one day.
Well, no, he didn't. It wasn't like his Twitter account. Like, you can do something where you rent out your followers to a new account.
How does that work?
So it wouldn't be like, I have no idea. Somebody told me he did this, and I was like, I don't even know how that would possibly work, but apparently you can.
Huh. All right. Okay. And then we got Frank Vert says, have you watched the HBO show Deadwood? While it had a lot of anti-white filth, it still gave a pretty good explanation of how whites created communities during the gold rush in South Dakota. I have not watched it, and I would just, I look, when I hear people say stuff like this, and again, maybe I haven't watched the show, so I don't know how bad it is, but when they say, yeah, it's basically anti-white propaganda, but it's got this other good thing about it. It's like, get that point. It's like saying, wow, this sandwich is delicious. Yeah, it has a cat turd right in the center of it, but but it's a really good sandwich. You should eat it. And it's like, why would you eat it? And
like that movie I tried to get you to watch, Begonia.
Which one? Oh, I haven't watched that yet still.
Oh, I thought that movie was great. But at the end, I don't want to do any spoilers for it, but at the end, there's some like light multiracial propaganda. And I was like, it's ignorable. You're like, it's never ignorable.
Because it's not. It's not. It should. And that's the thing is you're rewarding the people making this stuff. And that's always the problem. See, that's the thing. White people are very good compromisers, and we're very accepting and understanding people. And that ends up being our downfall, because you end up being tolerant of the foreign people and of their customs and of their crime rates. And, you know, and like next thing you know, it's your white society's gone. And it's the same thing with the media. People are willing to, yeah, but I like the anti-white propaganda because they put like this nice little sugar coating around it. And it's like, okay, but, you know.
But Star Trek The Next Generation, Devin.
We're going to talk about that.
No, please. I can't have you ruining it for me. It's so integral to like my childhood. I've been to conventions.
You bet. Now I need to ruin it.
No, please don't. I already know that it's socialist, multiracial propaganda, but the nostalgia is too strong. Some of those conventions were as an adult.
Oh, my God. No, I watched, like, that was a family show. That was a show my family watched. And so I remember being a little kid in my living room, you know, my mom and everybody around the TV watching it and, you know, and afterwards having the, you know, opining about, what would it be like to have a robot with no emotions? No. And of course, now you know he's a Jew. A Jewish robot Fred with no
Spider,
emotions.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Oh, it's a Jewish robot who has no emotions. But I'm going to have to ruin it for you guys. I'm just going to have to. It's
Why
worse
are
you than
like
you
this? No, this it's not worse than I think. I know how bad it is. It's not as bad as the new one. I was talking to Dave Cullen on the phone the other day, and he told
me that in
Star
so
Trek Enterprise.
Now.
Oh, yeah. He said that there's a gay Klingon couple.
Oh, yeah. Well, what? And there's the lesbian everything. Yeah, it's all just dog shit now.
That was a huge plot hole in Star Trek The Next Generation. Like, Riker would stick his dick in anything, but it's always like some alien. And you're like, how do you even know that you have the same genitalia? Why would you have the same genitalia? They never addressed it ever.
Well, I'm sure like there's got to be orifices on every life form.
So
right?
he's just sticking his dick in random alien orifices that may or may not be an alien vagina. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, how did we get to this?
This is a real show at one point.
All right, we got Dagtastic says the most disturbing video I ever saw was the aftermath of a guy being stabbed in the stomach by a Jeep. So much blood. There you go. And then we got Book Track Grooves says Judges chapter 19, 21. Rebecca, did you read this? It would be top tier true crime. I'm now convinced no more TV for women unless the man gets TV remote.
Oh no, my husband watches basketball.
Oh no.
Not
the sports ball.
I know, like college basketball too. I'm like, what? This is so nogtastic. Don't make me watch this.
That's infinitely worse than Star Trek.
I agree. And I try to make him watch Star Trek, and he's like, nope.
Ah, awful. Well, not that he won't watch Star Trek, but yeah, the sports ball is unacceptable. Then we got Reaver from Craigslist says the Bud Dwyer video isn't,
Dwyer
isn't half as gruesome as the Ronnie McNutt one, though neither were as brutal as the clip from the cartel guy's girlfriend getting turned into a quad amputee.
All right. Haven't seen either of those.
Well, that you still have not named the worst one, and you won't. I'll tell you after the show. Real Starfish Prime says blonde. Okay, I'm not gonna read that part. Last time I posted.
But why? It's okay.
He's complimenting your upper body.
Oh.
And then says, last time I posted that, it seems like you were offended. I hope not. I just find the word cans. Cans funny, and forcing.
You wouldn't read that? Were you trying to be respectful of me?
I'm trying to just be a gentleman here.
Oh, gay.
And then we got force your co-host to say. See, you were trying to force me to say it, but all right, I'll read it then. Lon, cans are looking great. That's what he's saying.
Oh, thank you so much.
Flanker Erft or something says we need to create a strong white, or we need to create strong white communities again. And then we got
Agreed.
Book Track Grooves says,
hey, buddy.
Hypotheticals can be helpful to understand your logical process, but hypotheticals overuse can blind you on what is possible. And when enemies constantly give you a false binary is frustrating. Okay. I'm not sure what that's in reference to, but, yeah, I mean, look, I don't think you should live in fantasy land, right? Like, you shouldn't, like, when people used to talk about the ethno state all the time, like, we were going to someday, like, just tomorrow, we're going to create the ethno state, and we're not going to let it, it's like, yeah, that's, conversely, I would say ideals are good to have. It's good to have these, you know, pie in the sky ideals, and it's not like you shouldn't have that, but you should also be realistic with your expectations.
Yeah.
Flankerft says it would be really cool if you guys could make some content on how to raise children to be healthy, strong, smart, and based. A lot of white parents are at the mercy of evil public school system.
Yeah.
Do you homeschool?
Okay. I don't, but I'm in as close to a homeschool situation as I possibly could be. And one of my daughters is just too young, so.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
that could be good. Yeah, that might not be a terrible episode. Just we'd have to focus in on like maybe one aspect of that or something.
Yeah.
Then we got Real Starfish Prime, who links an Amran article and says, "Here's an article about a guy speaking within the English laws." And says it's a good thing sharing as you could keep the YouTube access for normie. I'm not sure what you mean. What was your last one? What is that in reference to?
I'm not sure.
I don't know, but he links the Amran article there. So maybe we'll check that out after. Then we got a big dono from Wanged Hussar. I think that's how you say it.
Oh, yeah.
Says, well done. Welcome home, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I think Wanged Hussar. Then we got Randall Flagg says, you mentioned public hangings, I think. Today, a good idea for a stream would be a short history of lynchings in America. Apparently up to 1/3 of lynchings were white on white, even rarer were black on black. Yeah, I'm very pro lynching. Even if it's white, if it's a rapist or a murderer,
you gotta do it.
You gotta do it. Those people need to be taken out. Rapists and murderers and murdering rapists, and and pedophiles, obviously. Like those are the ones I'm 100% okay with just erasing. Like if you fit in one of those three categories, then your genetics should be taken out of the gene pool permanently. Real Starfish Prime says, Devin, love the insomnia stream. Blonde, please start another show where you go over the news twice a week for people who don't follow the news or have social media. Okay, so he's not saying get off this show. He wants you to make two additional shows where you go over the news.
Well, you were in luck because my YouTube channel is stalled out. I am going to create today, actually. I'm going to create a new YouTube channel, start from scratch, see what I can get done there, and then I will be having Cameron on weekly. So.
Well, there you go. All right, we got... Scroll, scroll, scroll. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, reminder, anyone who can't do more pull-ups than Blonde at StackCon will be forced into a shallow pit until you lose weight and can climb out.
I can do zero pull-ups. All of my weightlifting, and I'm a pear-shaped lady, and I've got really thin arms. There is no amount of training that is going to allow me to do a pull-up. It's just not going to happen.
Well, there you go. No one goes in the shallow pit. All right.
Whoa, this Ronnie McNutt video is terrible.
Are you watching the Ronnie McNutt one?
Damn. Did you know about that?
I'm sure I've seen it. I don't know if I've seen it, but it's possible. I'm guessing it's nothing we can play.
Oh, no, it's brutal. This guy just blows his head off with a shotgun.
All right, then we got Prairie Dog says, you guys forgot about Sand Negroes on the tier list. Oh, that's true.
Oh, right. We did forget about that.
Where do they go on your list?
Under
the Jungle Asians?
Oh, man. Under the Jungle Asians. I have to pee so bad. Do you mind if I go to the bathroom really quick? I just house that iced tea.
Yeah, let's see here. I can do... Let me get you so you're not on camera. There we go.
One second. You're free to go.
All right. And I'll mute her audio there. What should we look at on the screen? Is this where we should talk about Rebecca? Let's see here. I like that. We'll put the eye on. All right, then we got Mechanized Doom says, Trump wears a MAGA hat in place of a traditional kippah. Think about it. It might explain why he wore that white MAGA hat at the ceremony for the first soldiers killed in this war with Iran. Not sure what hat you're talking about. Let's see here. Should I try to look it up? Let's see. Trump white hat. Okay, she's back. I can unmute her.
Sorry.
It's all good. Okay. I do not see... This white hat you speak of, I don't know. Trump's Jewish. I'll just simplify it and say that. All right, we got Friendly Fash says three worst cartel videos I've ever seen. Recruits wear a freshly flayed face guy and have his crotch eaten by dogs.
Good Lord.
Faceless guy having an X-Acto blade stabbed in his mouth. Bon Jovi is playing. They laugh. You might be describing one of the ones I was talking about, but it's not Bon Jovi playing in the background. It is something, though. Then we got Watch the Collapse podcast. Says, Hail Victory, Hail Devin. Glad to see Rebecca ditch the Christ cuck grifters. Much better energy here.
Hey, Cameron's not like that.
There you go.
Then we can put our videos back up if you want.
Okay, I think it's going to start the intro again.
No, it's okay. Sorry.
Let's see here. No, I turned it off. All right, we're good again.
Huzzah!
Okay, then we got Glamdring says, did you listen to my song?
I'm sorry, I didn't. Where did you send this to me?
I've also not had a chance. I think you said that you DM'd it to me, but I haven't even looked at my DMs in the last couple of days because we've been working on stuff. But we'll check it out after the show. Glamdring. And thank you very much. Then we got, how's it going? Says, Devin is thinking of Black Number One. Do yourself a favor and listen to Race War, Devin.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking of Black Number, or wait, I don't know what Black Number One is, but if you're talking about the health video, that's not what I'm thinking of. Is Black Number One the Typo Negative song?
Yes.
Okay, so that's probably the one that I've heard from the 90s that they played endlessly on MTV and stuff like that. Rupert says, Gypsy Crusader has had his account for sale on Instagram lately. If Professor Stack becomes the Fuhrer, we can televise the death penalty, and it should be performed by a family member, slow and painful.
Have you talked to Paul Miller before?
No, I don't think so.
Have you? Oh yeah, several times. He's my friend. He is a delight. Like, he's like the easiest to talk to, nicest guy. Which is so surprising because he's been painted so badly in the media. But yeah, I love Paul. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. I've never talked to him. I haven't talked to very many people. I'm pretty isolated.
Yet I got you to do a podcast with me.
That's true. That's true. She has blackmail on me is what it was.
Yeah, totally.
We got Wilhelm says, cool to catch a stream. Great to see you too. Appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
Crazy Horse Josiah says, you can thank Dave Cullen for recommending me to you back in 2019. Aww. For Devin, 2021. For Blonde also, you have American Krogan on The Outlaws. He goes by Wilhelm, Wilhelmiversen. Now he's back.
Hmm.
Yeah, I just recently refollowed him because I got tagged and he was like, oh, this used to be American Crow. I was like, oh, okay. So I followed him. Denise the Celt says, Devin, if you don't tell us what the worst one is many, many years from now, as I am passing from this realm, my last thought will be, I wonder what the worst one was. Please don't do this to me. I'll give you guys a clue.
Okay. Okay.
It's going to require me downloading another video. Let's see if I can get it. Or maybe I already have it on my computer. That would be convenient. It's possible. Oh, good. I do. I thought I might. Oh, but it's not the... Actually, that still works. All right. I'm going to play a little clue for you guys. Is ready? That's your clue.
Okay, so they play Funky Town in this cartel video.
You're not supposed to solve the clue for them.
Everybody knows Funky Town. 100% of the people listening
not,
to this.
Not 100%. There's Zoomers out there.
Everybody, that's like one of the most popular songs. Okay.
Let's see. All right. Anyway. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, sounds like one pull-up is the bare minimum.
No, I can't do it. There's no way.
Then we got Rudolph White Wolf says, hello from Russia. My boss here put up a big Iranian flag at his studio. I can't say I blame him, though. I don't want Iranian immigrants, but I hope they kick ass. Then we got Book Track Grooves says, how goes the horse shopping and armor car, Rebecca? DM question.
The horse shopping and armor car. I'm doing neither of those things. Sorry, buddy.
All right. Then we got Wanged Hussar again says, like Hussy, and then sends a link. We'll check it after the show.
Is it the cartel video?
No, it's a YouTube link. I'm not sure what it is. I think it's an Asha Logos video.
I love Asha Logos.
Then we got, let's see here. I think we got one on entropy, but it's about something. It's about like the super chats not going through or something. Oh no, we got more than one on entropy now. All right, so we have one from Great Strawberry Shortcake. Says, hi Devin, I'm sorry to bring this up here. I've sent hyper chats outside of your live stream hours and didn't realize you didn't get the messages outside the live streams. I'll be sure to catch this show moving forward as I go to bed at 10 p.m. Thank you both.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And you can. I'm trying to get it to where that problem is solved on entropy at least, and I suspect it will be. Then we got Great Strawberry Shortcake again says, Rebecca, you got to get the TVs out of your house. I think it may undermine the raising of a truly based family when the propaganda machine is integrated into your lives, looking beautiful, by the way.
Oh, thank you. My thing on TV is that, so my kids are allowed to watch Bluey, although they are in an egalitarian marriage. So I talk to my kids about that being bullshit. And we watch a lot of cooking videos. That is pretty much it. Nature documentaries. And they like the show Daria.
Daria, really?
Yeah.
Like the MTV 90s Daria?
Yeah. It's not filled with propaganda.
Okay. Gorilla Hands says, hey, Devin and Rebecca, great show. Hopefully in the near future, you can get Cameron on for a stream or two with the two of you guys. This Trump presidency is a total disaster and is waking up the normies to how useless trying to vote our way out of our situation is. Hopefully this debacle will start a revolution.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cameron has been withholding about his opinions. He's like, save it for the streams. Like,
well, there you go. And we could have guests on at some point. I'd have to set that up, but that's not impossible by any means. That introduces some technical challenges for me now that I'm thinking about, but we can definitely do that. All right. And then Glamdrine again sends a link. I think that's the link to the song. So we'll check that out. I'll send that to you on Telegram here.
Awesome.
There we go. So we don't forget. All right. Then we got, that's it. So you got anything on YouTube?
Oh yeah. People seem really pissed off about this Gypsy Crusader thing. He's half Romanian, right?
I don't know.
Is that the problem? That's not so bad. Half Romanian, that's not a big deal. We can send him back last. Okay. And then because I like Basil. I know there's a part of a woman's brain that is broken where she finds hilariously gay men charming. It's every woman is like this. There's something wrong with us. I recognize that. I'm self-aware. Oh, I saw you guys warring on Twitter.
Yeah, brown faggots have to go. He's not even American. Like not even in the fake sense. He's like Canadian or something, right?
Is so he?
Yeah, he's like brown, gay, and Canadian. It's like there's no upside to this guy.
I know he has to go, but can we send him back last?
No.
Ah, but he's so funny. Okay, fine, Devin. Into the pit, Basil. All right. Monkey Odd. What software or website do you use to make the Pale Siren songs?
Suno.
Okay.
Suno.com, I think.
No surprise there, because you had to give me like a step-by-step tutorial to using Grok images yesterday.
I was like,
I kept messaging him. I'm like, I'm not retarded. I know how to change the aspect ratio. It's just not working. It's not working.
And I'm just like, this fucking retarded bitch. Like, when is she? It's like no. The most simple thing. How does she not get this?
I'm telling you, I was doing the thing and it wasn't working.
Oh, sure.
I even turned my computer on and off. I'm just joking. I didn't actually do that. Righteous Muffin says, I gave Devin some shekels before the show started with a note. Here's your shekels, Rebecca. Thanks again for putting this together with Devin. Thank you so much, Righteous Muffin. You're the best. Thank you for following me along on my journey of serial podcasting. I'm sorry. Wheel Gun Nationalist. Love the show. So glad to see this team up. Blunt, I started watching your stuff since your solo videos. Devin, you are a top tier white man. Also, I think I want to start keeping bees. How much land do I need?
You don't need any land. That's the cool thing, is bees are okay with trespassing. So as long as you have enough land to where the beehive's not where, like, you're going to be walking around all the time. I mean, you could have an apartment if they let you put a beehive on the roof. You know what I mean? Like,
seriously?
Yeah. Like, bees will just go to other people's flowers. You don't have to have the flowers on your land. You know, it's not like cows where you have to have them fenced up. You know what I mean? Like, they graze everywhere, whether, you know, they can fly, you know?
Yeah.
So like, if you have, you know, you can have like the tiniest patch ever, and you can have like two or three, maybe even four hives. And it depends on how much food is around you. But if you live somewhere where there's flowers, and everyone does, I'm in the desert and there's flowers, you know, then you don't need any land. You just need it as long as it's far enough away for your comfort. I mean, there are people that have beehives by their front door. There's a beekeeper that keeps one at his front door to keep like salesmen away and stuff like that. And it works. And if you don't live somewhere where there's Africanized bees, that's actually totally cool. They'll leave you alone when you're walking.
Can they withstand harsh winters?
So where you are, the beekeepers, there are beekeepers in Idaho, and they literally, they put them on pallets. And then when the winter comes, they get a forklift and they load up the pallets of beehives and put them indoors for the entire winter in like a giant, climate controlled, warehouse basically. And
really?
And then when spring rolls around, they load them back on trucks and spread them back out around the state. That's what they do. I mean, it's not what I'd want to do, but that's what they do in Idaho. So, you can build hives. The reason why they do that is it's cheaper to do it that way than it is to have non-standard insulated hives for every single hive. But if you wanted just like a couple where you live, you could do it. You couldn't just use the standard boxes that everyone uses, because that wouldn't be insulated enough. They would die for sure.
Oh man. Okay. So my daughter wants to start. Righteous Muffin. Oh, Matthew Hess. No note. Thank you, sir. Righteous Muffin again. I'm an hour behind, so I don't know if this gets answered, but what group of whites or immigrants moved there and did the crime? It was mostly Irish and Australian. And then of course the Chinese.
Well, you got to remember, this is the Australians from when Australia was freshly minted as a penal. Well, what year did that start?
I'm not sure.
But it was when they were still, it was a big bunch of criminals living there.
1788 was the beginning of the colony.
Yeah, so it's like less than 100 years in.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were true hardened criminals. Let's see. Michael Ellis, love the new setup. Thank you so much. Matthew Hess again, no note. Thank you, sir. PJ, love the new show so far. Here's some shekels. We appreciate it. James, 792, another banger of a show. Thanks, guys. We appreciate it so much. My dear friend, Ed Powell, what if the school was targeted not by a human analyst, but by AI run wild? I've heard this theory. I'm not buying it. But even if it were AI, doesn't that represent a lack of control over any given military's operations?
What, if what was controlled by AI? I missed the first part of that.
The school bombing in Iran.
Oh, if it was an AI mistake, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I could see, like, you know, some Palantir software or whatever determining that that was a target based on some kind of, you know, inputs that it was getting. I could totally see that. And that, here's the thing. Anyone that's interacted with AI knows that AI is wrong all the time.
All the time. It's always hallucinating, yeah.
Right. And so there's no reason to expect that whatever they would be using would be much. I mean, I'm sure it's a little better, but it's probably still making mistakes, and it could absolutely, that could be an issue.
Of course. Yep. Let's see. Jacob Winkleman, excited for the show. If you Sarah stalk us, I will kill myself. That's not going to happen, guys. Yeah. What a disaster. There's, you know, I don't often engage in online slop, but I was like following that story so closely. I was like, I can't believe this.
Oh yeah, I stay out of the drama pool as much as I can, at least.
I know, but it was somewhat fascinating. I like to see into other people's lives. It's, you know, everybody well, likes
think,
that, right?
I think what people miss is, I mean, they expect people who are streamers to not be just as fucked up as everybody else, you know?
And then they're surprised. I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Matty O. Hi, Rebecca. Love the new format and Devin as your new co-host. It's fitting because you'd make a hot cowgirl. I pray for the evolution, success, and longevity of the show long-term. Take care. Thank you. What a thoughtful comment. I really appreciate that. Eggy Jet Pilot. Love the new show, Rebecca. Glad you unhitched from Dave. Cam was cool, though. Yeah, Cameron is the best. This is Stars. Honey is power. Honey is power. Let me reload this. I think I got a few more. I do. Jacob Winkleman. Having a TV is like having a Jew in your living room. Yes, there is propaganda all the time. One thing that I will say is even if you're not watching television that is propaganda, the ads are like consistently on Amazon. I get this ad for some kind of AIDS drug, and it's geared towards bisexual black men.
Of course it is.
I know. And so it's like this gay black guy that picks up on this, you know, this other gay black guy. And then he's picking up on some like tranny looking black woman. I'm like, all right, like at least it's targeted. I do appreciate that. So Emmeline saw it and I had to explain to her. She's like, what is this? I was like, so I had to explain to her that, you know, minorities make poor lifestyle choices that give them fatal diseases. And now she's saying racist stuff in kindergarten.
That's good.
It is good. One of the best things about having young children is that it's very easy to propagandize them with racism. And so now I hear her say things like, why don't Indians wash their hands after they poop? And it fills me with pride. It truly does. I'm like, I feel like a good mom when you say stuff like this. Righteous Muffin, building a story, building and sticking someone in the roof hole would still be cheaper than life in prison. I vote the roof hole industry. We agree over here on Outlaws. Righteous Muffin again. I'm a bit behind, but I sent a chat to Devin on entropy right before the show started. Righteous Muffin, I got that chat that you sent twice. If you want me to send back some of your monies, please let me know and I would be happy to do that. Let me reload, but I think I'm good over here. Did entropy not work the whole stream?
No, we got a couple more on entropy actually just now. Oh, cool. Great Strawberry Shortcake says, Rebecca, I first found you on your old videos with Robin about home birth. I attempted a home birth for my first birth, and after 3 days, I couldn't hack it and had to give up. Wish me luck on the next one.
I'm so sorry. I did not home birth. I gave birth at a hospital. Robin is a huge advocate of home birth, and her last birth was a free birth. So she free birthed her most recent child in a bathtub with her husband and everything went beautifully. And she is the person to talk to about this because I am a scaredy cat and I gave birth in a hospital like a pussy. So she's the one to talk to. She's brave.
Well, there you go. Then we got Reinhardt again says, I actually think the news slop streams are both entertaining and important for reinforcing the ideology of our folk.
I am inclined to agree. I mean, Reinhardt and I talk all the time about this, but some of these personal interest stories are important because we need to have a culling on the right, which is why I think it's important that you talk about Fuentes. It's like, are we going to have standards or not? Now, I'm not for like absolutely destroying people for kind of trivial moral errors that they've made outside of the confines of when they started streaming. But if people are going to act like they're arbiters for morality, that they have to be held to a higher standard. They just have to.
Right.
So I agree with you, Reinhardt. Thank you so much for your support.
All right. Then we got a couple more on Rumble. Wilhelm just says, Daria cha-cha-cha, Daria cha-cha-cha. And actually, I think we might be good now.
Let me see. I think I actually got a few more. I just have one more. Don Browning. At the end of Australian transportation, 10% of the Occidental population were criminals. It's why we say we're a country of prison guards and wardens. You think that with their criminality, their history of criminality, that Australia would have been better equipped to deal with immigrants and with the migration problem, but they seem to be doing worse than almost everybody.
Well, they were at first. I mean, they had the white Australian policy for longer than I think we did. You know what I mean? Like they didn't let immigrants in for like a really long time. That all happened post World War II.
Yep.
So I mean, it's not like they folded immediately. We were way more diverse way earlier.
Yeah, that's true. So. Yep, I'm good over here.
All right. Well, I think we got everything then. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us for the second episode of Outlaws. And the third one will be next week. Same bat time, same bat channels at high noon on Wednesday. Anything you want to leave the audience with before we go?
Sure. I'm Rebecca Hargis. You can find me on Twitter, on X, at blondes_tweets. You can find me on YouTube at Blood in the Belly of the Beast. This is Devin Stack. What are your platforms, Devin?
You go to blackpill.com. It'll take you to my Odyssey channel. And we do the Insomnia stream every Saturday at 10 p.m. Pacific time. And it's on Rumble, Odyssey, and surprisingly, I streamed a BitChute too. Where there's
why
still, I get a couple thousand viewers there. I don't know who they are, but people watch over there, I guess. But yeah, and then on Twitter, I'm black_pilled. So there you go. All right, guys, you guys have a
thanks
good
so
rest of your day. For Outlaws, I'm Devin Stack, and
I'm Rebecca Hargraves. We'll see you next Wednesday.
All righty.